Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert green divas and dude gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips. Okay, we're on with our favorite green diva with the green thumbs, Allie Hoffman. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Meg.
So, gosh, like, I'm telling you, my entire world changed when the sun started coming out a little bit more here. I'm that easy that all it takes is, and I'm like, oh, yay, let's go party outside.
Oh, I know, and things are green, and that fresh green where they look like the world has started over again. It's just gorgeous.
Even, you know, last time we talked, it was the beginning of March, and, you know, but even then I could hear the spring birds coming. Now it's like, oh, everybody's just so excited for the big muddy meltdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's thrilling. And there's a lot to do in the garden, too. So we're all outside quite a bit right now.
Yes.
So you're hearing more of the birds that are singing to each other about it's time to have babies.
And
our owls are already sitting on babies or feeding babies.
Wow.
So it's amazing how can they start.
Better than me. So.
Yeah, me too.
So let's talk about April gardening. I know there's a lot more we can do outside now.
Well, in April, there's so much to do. I could talk for a few hours, and I'm sure you and your listeners don't want to hear that. But there's three things I'm going to talk about, as usual. First of all, let's remember that April is Arbor Day. This year it's Friday, April 24th.
Yes.
So that means it should be a clue to everyone, and I'm sure it is, that it's a great time to plant a tree.
Uh-huh.
And also a great time to plant a shrub.
Okay.
So choose something that you would like. I have some shrubs that are bigger than some of my trees. I have a bottle brush buckeye.
Wow.
That is going to be 10 feet by 8 feet by the time he gets to be mature. And I have, you know, red maples. Japanese maples that are much smaller than that. So they're all different sizes and shapes, but April is the time to make a selection and plant a tree.
Okay.
And if you can plant a native tree, that would be great.
Okay.
That's going to help the environment as well. Just make sure that you're choosing a tree that is sited properly. You want to choose something that likes the soil where you are and likes the weather and isn't going to get too big and overgrow your house. And
I don't want to get off topic here, but I just talked to somebody else about GMO seeds and buying plants, like if you're going to go to, you know, Home Depot or something, and finding plants that have not been treated with, you know, this.
Do they
do that to trees as well? Is there a way to make sure that you're planting a bee-friendly and pollinator-friendly tree?
Well, there's a lot of research online. If you go to your county extension office for your state, so in our case it's the University of Illinois Extension Office.
Okay.
There's a lot of helpful user-friendly information available that you can read and find out what's a native tree in my area, what will the tree do, how big will it get, what are its good characteristics, what are its poor characteristics. And a lot of times, you want to find a tree that's grown in the area.
Okay, yeah.
So, if in Home Depot, in some cases, I'm sorry to say, the big nurseries are in, you know, on the northwest coast.
Yeah.
Because they can grow trees in two or three seasons. We can only grow them once here.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to be more expensive if they're grown in the Midwest. But they're also going to be acclimated to our insects and our weather conditions and our soils. So I think if I'm going to spend $1,000 on a tree by the time I buy it and get somebody to plant it for me, if it's a decent sized tree, which you don't need to plant a big tree, you can plant a little tree, but by the time you plant a tree, I want to choose one that I'm not going to have to treat for some kind of disease every year for a lot of money, and I want to choose something that's going to live for a long time. So I don't think I'm going to go to Home Depot and spend $100.
Good. Okay.
But I think I'm going to find something that's grown by a local grower.
But do we have to be concerned about...
Yes.
Okay.
The bottom line is yes. We should all be concerned all the time.
But about the question of GMO seeds or treatments or stuff like that?
I don't know about GMO. Okay. I don't know about genetically modified seeds used for trees.
Yeah.
Most trees that are grown from tissue grass.
Yeah, that's true.
So, for example, they'll find a tree that's doing something that's naturally resistant to a particular pest. Like there's some elm trees that a scientist has found in his 30 years of work that are naturally resistant or appear to be to the Dutch elm disease. And so he has propagated those trees and...
Which is different. I'm talking more about concerns about, like, what, you know, because we're learning about these other seed-treated things that, you know, when you go to buy vegetable plants for your garden, you have to be kind of mindful.
I would look for organic seeds.
Yeah.
Which are more expensive, but I think you're safer if you start off with an organic source.
And then for flowers as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially, we were talking about the pollinators and how much harm these things are doing, the neonicotinoids or whatever they are.
Yes, yes.
All right. Just wondering if they were, you know, applicable to tree purchases and shrubbery.
I think you have to be really careful. I mean, it's possible that you could get some, I don't want to badmouth every possible thing, but, you know, if something is cheap and easy, it's usually not going to be right. I mean, you have to really look at it, turn it upside down and look at it carefully.
So do homework is what we're saying. Yeah.
Maybe you should buy an organic seed and grow it yourself.
Yeah. All right. So. Do your homework. Now, what else are we doing? We only have another minute or so.
Okay, the other thing you're going to do is plant all your cool season vegetable crops. So if you don't have to wait until it's time to plant tomatoes, which is not for another 6 weeks here.
Okay.
You can plant lettuce, peas, onions, radishes, spinach, kohlrabi, carrots, rhubarb, cauliflower, ornamental grass, ground covers, vines.
Wow. Okay, so we've got lots of things we can do.
Perennials. You can divide your perennials. You can,
at
the end of the month, start buying them. So there's tons of things you can plant. And the other thing I do a lot of in April is pruning. I'm pruning spring flowering shrubs right after they prune so that they'll do better next year, and I'm not cutting off next year's flowers. I'm just pruning a lot. So.
And is this when you would put some compost on the soil beds before things really start popping?
I would mulch everything. I'd pull the mulch away from the winter, clean things up, divide them if I'm going to, and then I would put composted leaf mulch myself.
Yep. Okay.
Because it's a dressing and a food at the same time.
Yep.
So and then it'll look beautiful, and you know, you can proceed on with your other 5 million tasks for the month of April.
Well, I know, as always, you will give us a very wonderful and thorough post with directions, which I bookmark.
I'll do my best.
I bookmark all these months because then I'm like, what am I doing again?
Well, and I'm trying to change the emphasis from year to year because I'm looking at last April and we were all just getting over the terrible winters. So
right.
This year it's much more friendly. So.
Yay. All right. Well, Allie, as always, thank you, and I'm looking forward to playing in the garden.
My pleasure. Have fun.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreendivas.com.